This is Bible Truth for Living. Stand by for your host. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bible Truth for Living. In this version of our podcast, I'm your host, Bo Couchman, and joining me today is Jeff McCrary. Welcome, Jeff.
Great to be here.
Today we want to consider another important topic to those who are spiritually minded and would seek to find out from God's Word the things that are directives for our lives. But we'll be stepping outside a little bit of evidence from Scripture. We will talk about some passages, but we're going to address the question of, is the Bible a myth? Jeff, we hear from many people today that the Bible is legend, it's made up, that there are stories that are so fantastic we can't possibly believe them. And there are actually a number of reasons why people might conclude this.
Yes, there are. For one thing, the Bible is a very old book. It's been around for thousands of years. And we've learned a lot of things about the universe that we live in the time since it was written. So we have the feeling sometimes that it's outdated. The events that we read about in the Bible seem so fantastic and incredible. Here's a shepherd boy who can take a rock and put it on the forehead of a giant. It just seems made up, to some people at least. For the last 70 years, science has been somewhat of an idol for people in our culture and our world today, and it's been very critical of the idea that there's an all-powerful God who made the universe and wrote the book of the Bible and will stand in judgment of how we live. And it's so much so that even religious experts have questioned the truthfulness of the Bible, suggesting the flood in Genesis was only a local event, or perhaps there never was a man named Abraham or David. So when the religious leaders begin to question the validity of the Bible, it's no wonder that a lot of people are going to think the Bible is just myth.
Sure. Well, Jeff, if the so-called experts among us really can't make up their minds one way or the other about the reliability of the Bible, whether it's true or not, how can the rest of us? It seems like it would be pretty easy to make an accusation against the Scriptures and their validity and make it sound believable. If we're looking at what we can observe today, there are obviously things that are written in Scripture that, as you mentioned, are stories so fantastic, we don't see those kinds of things happening today.
And we have to recognize that a lot of times you can make accusations about someone, and in the minds of those who hear the accusations, some of it will stick. So a lot of people hear that people say with confidence the Bible is myth, and they are so confident that they won't even listen to any evidence to the contrary. And it just sounds like that person has done his homework, and he's very confident, and his soul is at stake, so maybe he's right. Maybe the Bible is myth. A lot of people do this out of ignorance. They make these accusations or believe these accusations. Jeffrey Small, in an article on HuffingtonPost.com, the article was called "The Bible, History, or Myth," wrote, "According to Genesis, the universe is just over 6,000 years old." Well, the truth of the matter is the Bible in no place tells how old the universe is. That's an absurd statement. Now, there have been some people who have taken the genealogies and tried to extrapolate the age of the earth, but that's not a scientific method at all. So the Bible doesn't try to say how old the universe is. And there are a lot of people who come to conclusions like that without ever really reading the Bible, and they say this in ignorance. We have to recognize that when you make an accusation, some people do so out of ill will or evil intent. Each person has to investigate that for himself. We shouldn't take anybody's word one way or another when it comes to accusations. For centuries, men have tried to find contradictions in Scripture. And the contradictions when you think about a contradiction, it has to be undeniable in order for it to stick. But a lot of times, with some people, all you have to do is suggest that the experts, that Paul and Peter didn't really agree on something, or that there was a problem in how many books were supposed to be in the Bible, and people begin to believe it. We don't have time in this episode of Crosscast to look at the specific alleged contradictions, but we'd be glad to deal with some in a future podcast. Just contact us through BibleTruthForLiving.com, and we'd be glad to talk about some of the alleged contradictions.
Jeff, you bring up the aspect of observation of things we see today, and from the scientific community, sometimes we get a lot of a lot of negative feedback with regard to scripture and those things. We'd want to note, however, from a scientific standpoint, that sometimes the Bible does talk about elements of science. You're going to get to some of those here in a few minutes, I know. But it's also important for us to recognize that when we make the claims that the Bible can't be true, that it's a myth, because it violates some knowledge that we have from science, we are presuming to have a knowledge of science that is complete, and that's simply not true. As the saying goes, we don't know what we don't know, and to think that somehow in the 21st century we've reached some level of scientific knowledge that now we can prove anything to be true or false, when, 150 years ago, which in the time span that many think the world has existed, it is, a few seconds compared to the length of time. We were bleeding people to death because when they had infections. So our knowledge of things is continuing to expand all the time, and we are discovering not only new things, but we're discovering that we were wrong about other things in the past. So to rely exclusively on scientific knowledge would be a fallacy in this circumstance.
Yeah, our understanding of the universe around us is an evolving body of information, and it continually changes as we learn more about the universe around us. And as you said, sometimes we find out we were wrong. We didn't think so. We do want to note, when we think about the Bible, that there's no other ancient book like the Bible. The Dead Sea Scrolls validates that the Old Testament has been preserved intact almost exactly as it was given thousands of years ago. We have 24,000 partial manuscripts and 5,600 complete manuscripts of the New Testament. Compare that to 643 copies of Homer's Iliad. You realize that there's been no other book in the world that has been as accurately preserved as the Bible. We have fragments that date back to 114 AD, about 20 years after the last book was written, and that we have complete books from 200 AD. So we can be certain that what we have in the Bible, as it was given, as it's translated accurately, is exactly what was given.
Some people, Jeff, would look at the number of manuscripts and copies we have and suppose that actually opens the door for mistranslations, either intentional or accidental, and would suggest that, well, the more transcripts we have or the more copies we have is not really evidence. From a textual criticism viewpoint of Scripture, to have so many hundreds and even thousands, and in fact, when we include the Latin copies of the New Testament, we have almost 24,000 copies of the New Testament. And all of these copies agree up to about 97% of the content of what is written in Scripture. When you think about that number of copies, when they're writing, making these copies, they didn't run down to the local Kinko's and run off 200 copies. Yeah. All of them are handwritten copies. The possibility that you could, for example, take one original and have 100 copies of it made, and in this particular example, if suddenly the original were lost and you had these 100 copies and they were all in perfect agreement, it's almost impossible that 100 copies could disagree with the original if they all agree. So in essence, the more copies that you have, and some have criticized the New Testament by saying, well, we don't have any of the signed documents. We don't have any of the original documents. Yes, but we have thousands and thousands of copies that agree so closely that there's very little doubt that we have an accurate representation of what was originally written.
And what you have with the Bible we possess today fits the picture that there is a God who wanted to give a message to mankind, and he inspired men to write that document, and he brought it all together into one book that we call the Bible, and he preserved it down through the years. What we have fits that picture. We certainly know that in our day and time, when one doctor finds some medical discovery, that changes the medical world. And he tells everyone to either don't use salt or use more salt or don't drink coffee or drink more coffee or stay away from caffeine. And then 10 years later, you have another doctor who says, well, that doctor was all wrong and I've found the real evidence. We know that the tendency from human beings is to outdo one another and to seek their own notoriety and success in various ways. And not all of that is disingenuous. But we don't see that in the Bible. We see harmony from beginning to end in at least 40 different scholars, 40 different authors over thousands of years, 1,500 years, I believe, and people who lived on several different continents from different cultures. And yet the harmony in the Bible is quite remarkable compared to just about any other book.
Okay, so let's move on here, Jeff, and talk about some internal evidences that the Bible is a book that couldn't have been written just by men, but in fact was authored by a divine being.
Yeah, what we're saying is that the Bible couldn't have been written by the men who authored it using the information that they had at their disposal, as human beings. In Leviticus chapter 11, Moses writes, "If any part of any such carcass falls on a planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean." Now, most of us are familiar, if you've read the Old Testament, with the clean and unclean laws. That there are certain things that the Jews were not to have anything to do with. They're not to touch or handle or anything like that. They would be unclean. Do you want to pause it? So, the question is this biologically sound? Is it true that biological contamination can travel through seeds that are planted in the ground and then later harvested? Well, we know certainly today something that Moses could not possibly have known. That this biological contamination does not travel through seeds that are planted. There is a lot of evidence like this in Scripture, scientific evidence. Now, the Bible didn't put it there for that purpose, but you can imagine that if the God of the universe is writing the Bible, some of his information, that his knowledge of the universe is going to come through, and we're not going to discover for many thousands of years later that information is there. We find a lot of this in the 17th chapter of Leviticus and verse 11. Moses writes about to the Israelites, he says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood is identified as its life." So the Egyptians began, as far as we know historically, began the practice of bloodletting. The idea was that if you're sick, you have bad blood, you need to drain some of that bad blood out and you'll get better. And you would think that Moses, who was schooled in the latest Egyptian education system, in the palace itself, that he would have, informing his people and the laws for his people, if he did it out of his own knowledge, he would have just regurgitated the information the latest medical experts in Egypt gave him. But neither Moses nor the Israelites followed the practice of bloodletting. George Washington died because they bled him. How could Moses know that it is essential, even with a sick person, to keep his blood in him? We have a lot of other scientific evidences on astronomy. In Job chapter 26 and verse 7, it says that he hangs the earth on nothing. That's an amazing statement, because the Hindus had the earth supported on the backs of four elephants standing on a giant turtle swimming in a sea of milk. And even the Greeks, in all their wisdom, had the earth supported on the shoulder of a man named Atlas. And when you swatted at a fly, you had a hurricane. Now that sounds trivial that we're making fun. These people were going with the information they had at the time, but why did only Moses get it right? Job, why did only Job get it right? In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said that there's going to come a time when God's going to come and call. Some will be sleeping in the bed and some will be working in the field. One is a nighttime activity. One is a daytime activity. So what shape does the earth have to be in? A lot of people erroneously think that the Bible writers all thought the earth was flat. Well, I don't know what the Bible writers thought in their minds, but God knew it was not. And Jesus knew it was not. But you know, the greatest evidence for the validity of Scripture and the usefulness of Scripture is in its fulfilled prophecy. Henry Liddon chronicled 332 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus, written hundreds of years before he was born. Many of these prophecies were totally out of his control. For instance, Micah chapter 5 says he would be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah, which is the Bethlehem close to Jerusalem, not the larger city up in Galilee. But these specific prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus to a letter. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 24, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, verse 44, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law and the prophets of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Fulfilled prophecy. How could Jesus possibly fulfill 300 prophecies, many of which were beyond his control? Well, the answer is that this book, the prophecies were given by the Holy Spirit. They were accurate because God knew how things were going to turn out, and then God, through his providence, made them turn out that way.
Of course, we know too, Jeff, the prophecies are not limited to Jesus. There's prophecies about all kinds of events. Mindful of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, where he had the dream of the great figure that had four parts. And he asked this young man who was captive to come and not only interpret the dream, but tell him the dream, first of all, to start with. And Daniel was able to convey to him what historically would come to pass in the next, the next 600 years on a grand scale with regard to the great kingdoms that would come along. He was able to tell this man exactly what was going to happen. And later on, when he had another dream, he was able to tell him immediately what was going to transpire in Nebuchadnezzar's life. And, you know, you talked about how the specificity of these things, these were not general, oh, good things are going to happen, oh, bad things are going to happen. With Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel went in there and said, you're going to become like a cow and get down on the ground and eat the grass. I mean, that's an absurd thought that someone, first of all, would even tell a king who he's captive to that this is going to happen. And then it happened exactly as Daniel said later on.
The Assyrian captivity of the Jews was predicted in Numbers 24 when Moses wrote the law, thousands of years before, hundreds of years at least before. Cyrus, the king of Persia, was named in Isaiah 45, 150 years before he was even born, and eventually he ascended to the throne. These are very specific prophecies. They could not possibly have been known. You might figure if a man makes thousands of prophecies, he might get lucky a time or two, but never on the scale that the Bible is accurate. Time and time again, we see this, and with a great deal of certainty, we can be sure that the Bible's not a myth. It contains information that the people who wrote it could not possibly have known, using the common understanding of the people of their time.
We'll be back with some closing thoughts right after this. Glad you've joined us for Bible Truth for Living today. We hope the things that we have discussed will be of encouragement and benefit to you. This program, Bible Truth for Living podcast, is sponsored by the River City Church in Columbus, Georgia. We are a fellowship of Christians who belong to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Nothing more and nothing less. We worship regularly at our meeting place located at 3900 River Road in Columbus. You'd be welcome at any of our services, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., where we seek to worship and glorify God and to study from His Word. We invite you to visit the Bible Truth for Living website. That's BibleTruthForLiving, all one word, .com. There's more information there, articles, videos, and other resources designed to present the simple truth of God's Word. You can contact us via the website with your comments, questions, or topics that you'd like us to discuss in this podcast. We plan to produce and publish this program on a regular basis, and all the podcasts will be available on our website. Now back to our program. Welcome back to our program. We've been talking today about the question of, is the Bible a myth? And we have talked, Jeff, about several ideas with respect to this that are reasoned ideas, a reasonable approach to understanding the special nature of this book, the special nature of prophecies, some of the objections that we've noted. Obviously, in a 20-minute podcast, we're scratching the surface here, but these are reasonable ideas. So closing thoughts from you on this idea of whether the Bible's reliable or whether it's in fact fictitious.
We certainly can be sure that if there is a God that cares about us, that he's not going to leave us without the knowledge and understanding of how to reach him, how to have a relationship with him, and how to succeed. And that's what the Bible is. It's an effort by God to assure us and to help guide us. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it is said, "It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." I believe honest people will recognize that we need help, all of us, from time to time. No man is an island to himself. No man is totally sufficient to understand how he should conduct himself in every circumstance. The Bible is a book of unparalleled documentation and credentials. It is by far the most accurate and best preserved of all ancient books. And I would encourage you to read it. And if you find things in there that you would like us to talk about in a podcast, then contact us at BibleTruthForLiving.com. We would be glad to take your question, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer for your question.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Bible Truth for Living. We hope you'll join us for future podcasts.